Whether you're new to aviation or an experienced pilot looking to advance your skills, Go Vertical Aviation has you covered. With an excellent learning atmosphere and a staff committed to excellence in education, Go Vertical Aviation will customize a learning program just for you. For more information, go to goverticalaviation.com or call 256-412-5226. Be sure to follow Go Vertical Aviation on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Don't just go. Go Vertical.
Right now, we have Mayor Kerry Underwood, Mayor of Tuscumbia, Alabama, to share his Muscle Shoals Boutique Air experience.
My wife and I, we were flying from here to Atlanta, which is a very fantastic trip to go from one to the other at such a great rate. In that route was just a casual, comfortable environment, which sometimes flying is not casual and comfortable. During that time, we just got to visiting with the pilot and the co-pilot. Come to find out, it was a husband and wife team. And it's hard to put into words how that gave us a comfort level, but just knowing that there was a family that was flying the plane, having normal conversations as we were interacting with them, made it feel like home. And for me, this Shoals area is home, and knowing that there was someone who had that same sort of mentality and that same interaction between husband and wife going from one airport to another gave everybody on that plane, including myself, a comfort level that I really can't put into words. When we say this is boutique air, it's also very unique in that it is very hometown and personable. And to me, that matters when you're flying.
To plan your boutique air experience, go to boutiqueair.com. That's boutique air,
where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
My wife and I sat down with Harlan Mitchell and discussed our own estate planning needs. I know in our experience, Harlan brought up questions that caused us to think about our current situation and what we need to do moving forward. When you sit down with Harlan for your free consultation, you're going to find out things that you may have not thought about when it comes to estate planning. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884 and schedule your free consultation today.
Would you like enhanced energy, better moods, less fatigue, help with allergies, better sleep, mental clarity, or just want improvement of your overall immune health and well-being? Do you need to recover from intense activities, workouts, or sports? Then IV therapy at the Drip Factor inside Trinity Medical Center is right for you. Our IV drips are filled with nutrients, vitamins, and minerals that will help your body replenish, restore, and achieve your wellness goals. For more information, visit trinity-medicalcare.com and schedule your appointment today at Trinity Medical Center, located at 500 Governor Drive.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it, or I can use it for good. What I do today is very important because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving something in its place I have traded for it. I want it to be gain, not loss, good, not evil, success, not failure, in order that I shall not forget the price I paid for it.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hi folks, this is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark Wyatt Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. My daddy is your host, Mark Wyatt.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark Wyatt Show. It is a travel edition of The Mark Wyatt Show as I come to you from Mammoth Cave National Park. And right now I'm with Christopher Lowrance and his wife, Melanie. You have followed Chris on his journey so far as he rides across the country 4,300 miles coast to coast. And many of you have been very supportive of this effort. And those who don't know, Chris started this journey with an effort in mind to bring awareness to first responder mental illness, specifically suicide. And it was through an organization called Blue Help. And if you've listened to the Mark White Show over the past several months, you have heard about Blue Help several times. And it comes from my friend Charlie Bradley, who took his life as a police officer in Pelham, Alabama. The connection was made with his wife, April. And it really put me on a mission to try to help those who are serving as law enforcement officers, as first responders, being a former law enforcement officer myself. Welcome back to the Mark White Show, Chris Lowrance.
Thank you, Mark. I'm glad to be here.
And Melanie, welcome to the Mark White Show for the first time.
Thank you, Mark.
Glad to have both of you. We've enjoyed a good day here at Mammoth Cave. Took a tour, enjoyed that. Had Cora with me. Cora's in the background. She's going to be quiet through this interview, but glad to have all your kids here. Well, two of your kids here, and then your wife, Melanie, Chris.
Yes, it's a welcome sight to get to see them and spend time with them. Solitude on the road is something that it takes time to get used to, and I don't know if I'll ever be used to it.
How many miles have you been able to try to get used to it to this point?
I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,400 miles. I have about another 750 miles or so to go to get to Yorktown, Virginia. And then my friends that are going to come up and escort and ride with me back from Yorktown to Gastonia, North Carolina, that'll be another 380 miles. So
you have found out on this trip, of course, that one thing leads to the next thing. And as I mentioned at the very beginning of this, Charlie Bradley was a pivotal point for the Mark White Show to find out that someone I knew as a teenager, as a young person, had taken the path of military service and law enforcement service and ultimately took his life. I had no plans to go this direction with the Mark White Show, but once I talked to April, his wife, and found out the difference between, say, an officer who dies in the line of duty with someone else taking their life versus an officer taking their own life, there's still an issue there. There's still a stigma there. And it's something that we have to be very vocal about, that there's an issue in the law enforcement community and first responder community. And you're definitely bringing awareness to that through Blue Help.
Yeah, there's definitely still the stigma there. And, you know, it's death of a loved one, regardless if it's law enforcement or military or first responder, paramedics, dispatchers, whoever it may be. If it's associated with suicide, it's almost like there's a level of shame in it, and it's not a shameful thing for the person. It is it's a tragic situation for the person that is the only way that they felt like they could make their hurting stop. And it's almost that the families are ashamed of the way that the person died. And that's the stigma that's got to stop. Whether it's law enforcement, first responders, or anyone, it's the stigma, the shame that's associated with suicide. When that is removed, I think people will be more apt to go and seek help, you know. Law enforcement's a difficult job. So is paramedics and nurses and, you know, school, even school teachers. You know, there is so many different professions that see people hurt, you know, children hurt. And those are the things that stick with you. I don't know how it changes, but maybe, you know, they say sparks create fires. So maybe the spark will, maybe my pedaling's a spark. So hopefully it'll make a difference for someone.
As I was making my way across the bridge with my radio equipment to come talk to you both, I was thinking about the fact that a lot of times we wait for government entities or organizations to recognize an individual when something like this happens. But Mark White can carry on the legacy of Charlie Bradley.
Yes, he can.
Mark White can do things to recognize him and others who have taken their life. Chris Lowrance can ride a bike across the country, and he can recognize these people. We don't have to wait for somebody else to say, let's honor this person. There's no waiting necessary. We can do as much as we want to do. The sky's the limit.
That's right. Well, riding a bike across the country, I think, is the easy part. So it's people with their challenges. They have the difficult part. You know, the difficulty in facing their friends and their families and admitting that they have problems and things that's going on in their head that they just don't know the solution to. Riding has been, it's been a challenge. And don't get me wrong, there's been my share of pushing and walking and an occasional put it up the back end of somebody's pickup truck and get to the top of the hill. So, but it's got to be, you know, when I first started, I really thought, no, I'm going to pedal every single bit of this. I'm not going to take help from anybody. And it took a lot for me to actually take my bicycle and put it up in the back end of Kay and Skip Gibbons' pickup truck and take that ride for a mile and a half to the top of Chief Joseph Pass because I felt like I was cheating. But it wasn't cheating. It's one of the best rides I ever had in my life. Because Kay follows me. Her husband follows me. I don't know if I mentioned before, but they drove 140 miles round trip to bring me my helmet that I left in the backseat of their truck. So, you know, me taking that little bit of help from them touched more people. I'm sure that Kay and Skip told their friends about my bike ride, who maybe went online and joined the Facebook group and maybe someone else. And, you know, maybe it made its way around to helping somebody that needed a little bit of help. So maybe climbing up in the back seat of that Dodge Dually and putting my bicycle in the back end was meant to be because maybe it touched somebody along the way.
When we think about the mission of Blue Help, the brand new, what's the word for it? They've unveiled a new marketing plan.
I will listen and accept help.
I will give help. I will offer help. All these different things that we do. If you are on your bike ride and you don't accept help, it really doesn't really go along with the idea of what we're trying to do here.
It goes right along with I will talk. So if you're willing to talk, there's a lot of people that are willing to listen, but people have to get to the point that they are willing to talk. And for me, you know, he pulled up in this truck and I could have waved him on and told him I was fine. But man, I was tired and I needed a little bit of help getting to the top of that hill. I would have made it, but it made it easier for me. And I think by people talking to others, expressing the things that they have going on, that it'll make it easier for them.
I think it's a good time to bring Melanie into the conversation because when Chris first started this, one of the things was Christopher being able to ask for help when he needed it and not just depending on himself, but allowing others to help him. And that's one of the things that we've talked about throughout is Chris being able to accept the help on his journey and know that it's okay to get help from people.
Yes. I think asking for help comes easier at sometimes in our lives and than it does in others. I actually took the Mammoth Cave tour about 45 minutes before you did today, and as often happens, struck up conversation with the couple who were behind us, and told them about Chris, told them about the ride, told them about Blue Help, and they asked if he was taking this ride solo or if he was with a group. And I said, you know, obviously he was solo, and they expressed some concern, some question about how that was even possible. And I said, you know, what has been really reassuring consistently to the point that I think now we've come to depend on it is that people have been, it seems, placed in his path to offer whatever assistance he may need at that time, from the taking a ride, the mile and a half ride up to the top of the pass, to having the most random tool to fix what was wrong with a spoke on the bike, and the fact that he happened to stop in that particular campground and have a conversation with the particular individual. So I think those kinds of moments have been very reassuring for all of us.
And he's come across other bikers, and that was something that I really appreciated early on, was the fact that there were others. Then it wasn't just Chris, but he might be in a group of two or three on this ride. And then you know he's got more support from people who are with him, and they're going through the same thing. I mean, this is not, whether you're riding for Blue Help or whoever you're riding for, if you're riding a bicycle across the Transamerica Trail, this is hard for anybody. And so you got somebody who can relate, whether they're in law enforcement or not. As you mentioned, it's something that affects everybody. And people are doing this for different reasons, obviously. They don't all have the same reason. But you know that you're on the same path, and you have the same struggles. And so that was really neat to have other riders join in with you.
Yeah, the there's been actually three riders that I rode with. Joe Huerta. And I've kept in contact with Joe since we split our ways. He went into Denver, Colorado, to see some friends. And I think I'm actually ahead of Joe again. So he was in Iron City 2 days ago. So with me being stopped here with my family for a few days, Joe may catch up. Steve went back home to Texas where he lives. And he is he keeps in contact with me through Facebook. And then Kyle came and stayed with us at a house that we had rented in West Yellowstone area when the family came out at the beginning of June. So, and then there's Kevin. I forgot about Kevin. Kevin split off and went to ride with his dad, you know, have time with his dad and ride the Katy Trail instead of riding through Missouri, also known as Missouri. But, you know, everybody's on their own journey. It's the journey for me is different than their journey, but everybody's journey's got a, it's got a reason, it's got a meaning to them. And it was to have someone to sit down and eat with and talk to, you know, and instead of trying to figure out your route the next day all on your own, you know, maybe one of those, yeah, you got safety. If something happens to you, happens to your bike, you've got someone there that, even though you don't know them that well, you know, I wouldn't leave them. They wouldn't have left me, I don't think. And, you know, it's kind of weird. You know them for a real short period of time, but you really feel like you know them in depth. And I think these guys are somebody that I'll probably keep up with for probably the rest of my life. And, you know, whether it be just an email or a message through Facebook or social media, you forged a friendship with someone that might not be an intimate friendship of, you know, like someone that you grew up with, a lifelong friend, but they still become a friend to you on your trip.
Exactly right. And speaking of those friendships and the relationships that we're building through Blue Help, I have met a lot of people that I never would have connected with if it hadn't been for, as I mentioned from the very beginning, Officer Charlie Bradley. And, of course, our condolences continue to go out to April and her family and what they've had to go through with the passing of Charlie. But I want April to know, and his kids to know, that Charlie's legacy definitely lives on, and the Mark White Show continues to highlight these stories and recognize these difference makers that are trying to give hope to people who are in a similar situation to Charlie. And I want you to know, April, that the Mark White Show is going to continue to do this. And just as we're here in Mammoth Cave National Park with Christopher Lowrance on his 4,300-mile bike ride, I want you to know that Charlie's in this moment right now. And there are people that we're touching because of Charlie in this moment. And when we come back, Chris, I want to share about Blue Help. I want to share about Karen Solomon. I want to share about the people who founded this organization and how they are helping. Of course, we've got a conference coming up in September in Maryland, and we'll talk about that. But we'll talk about this ride that you've got, you're 3,400 miles in, a 4,300-mile ride across the country to bring awareness to first responder mental illness, mental health, and suicide awareness through Blue Help. So I know you'll stick with me. You're sitting right across from me, so you can't go anywhere.
I'm going to stick with you, Mark.
I know where your bike's at.
And my bike's LD's right there in the corner. It's going to get some attention tonight. And, you know, we're going to keep climbing hills. We're going to climb a lot of them in the next 3 weeks. I know everybody out there, some of them's got hills to climb. My dad's got hills to climb. But we're gonna do one hill at a time. And we get to the top, we'll coast to the bottom and figure out the next hill, how we're going to get up to the top of it.
Amen. Folks, right now we're talking to Christopher Lowrance and his wife Melanie here in Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky. I hope you'll stick with us as we're bringing awareness to first responder mental health and bringing suicide awareness to the forefront. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White. I'll do something good today. A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today. Whether you're new to aviation or an experienced pilot looking to advance your skills, Go Vertical Aviation has you covered. With an excellent learning atmosphere and a staff committed to excellence in education, Go Vertical Aviation will customize a learning program just for you. For more information, go to goverticalaviation.com or call 256-412-5226. Be sure to follow Go Vertical Aviation on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Don't just go. Go Vertical.
Boutique Air in Muscle Shoals, Alabama offers direct flights to Atlanta, Nashville, and Pensacola. Boutique Air service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Follow Boutique Air Muscle Shoals on Facebook at Boutique Air MSL and book your flight through boutiqueair.com. Boutique Air,
where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
The best way to buy, sell, and experience land is with Jonathan Berryhill. For your farm, ranch, recreational, hunting, timber, and acreage needs, contact National Land Realty Professional Jonathan Berryhill at 256-874-7354 or email at jberryhill@nationalland.com. Be sure to follow Jonathan Berryhill with National Land Realty on Facebook. This is your land.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers. Losing a loved one is hard, but losing a loved one and not having an estate plan is even harder. Attorney Harlan Mitchell witnessed what not having an estate plan can do to families and decided to use his experience to do something about it. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884. Again, that website is BamaEstatePlanning.com. Let Harlan Mitchell help you with estate planning. Do it for those you love and do it today.
He's got a cold. Nothing to worry about.
Just need a couple of stitches.
Your COVID rapid test is negative.
Oh boy, x-ray shows it's broken.
Trust Trinity Medical Care when you need urgent care or routine medical care. Walk-ins are welcome. Or let Trinity help you virtually with telemedicine. Visit trinity-medicalcare.com for more information and follow them on Facebook. Trinity Medical Care, where your care comes first. Located on Governor's Drive in South Parkway.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. And one smile can make a difference. Na 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 na. Someone loves you, I do.
Thank you. finishes up early so he can get away. Cause there's a blue-eyed kid on second base, wants Dad to watch him play. Daddy knows he's waiting, so he hurries on.
Welcome back to The Mark White Show. This is a travel edition of The Mark White Show as I am in Kentucky at Mammoth Cave National Park. Me and Cora had an opportunity to go through a tour thanks to Melanie. She found two spots for us to be able to go through, and 45 minutes earlier, the Lowrance family was able to go through and tour one of the caves. I know that, Chris, you were able to do that yesterday, and you went inside one of the caves and enjoyed that to a certain extent. You're getting to be with your family, and that's more important than anything.
Yes, it's the last couple of years, I kind of developed an issue of, I'll just say it's probably anxiety. It's I get to feel panicked at times whenever I'm in areas that I don't feel like I have an avenue to easily get out of. And experienced it on the Yorktown aircraft carrier last summer with my daughter really bad for the first time. And, you know, and I sought some help after that. And it's helped some. In this trip and journey that I'm on, it has helped a lot. Going in a cave, that took a little bit of willpower and, you know, squeezing the wife on the leg while we're sitting in there, and they turn all the lights off and you feel your heart start racing, and it's not really the place that you want to be, and you're really not comfortable being in there, but you're in there so that your children can have fun and your wife can have fun and experience the crystal onyx cave at your expense. But we made it through it, and it was good to have that experience with the family.
Chris, what's the importance of asking for help? As people are listening right now, I know there are people listening who have probably been very reluctant to ask for help, especially in our first responder community. And I know that there are people who probably need to ask for help, but they're still at that point where they're refusing. They're not going to get the help. What is the importance of taking that step and saying, okay, I've got something internally that needs to be worked on to improve myself, my family, my job, whatever I want to do in this life?
Well, Mark, I kind of compare it to being on a team. You know, I was on our emergency response team for 20 years. We did things together as a team, and it made the job easier. It was a job that you couldn't do by yourself. You had to have your team leaders. You had to have your entry elements. You had to have all these different facets, your marksman observer units. All these different facets came together to work on one common problem, and you solved that problem easier. If you're experiencing issues and stuff, people need to know that you're experiencing that so they can be on your team and help you resolve the problem. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to realize that it's something that you have to deal with. And it's a lot easier to figure it out with help of others and even the help of professionals that are trained to help you overcome the issues that you're experiencing.
I would just add, and you may, when you ask for help, I think it can be very validating and empowering for people around you who may need to be asking for help as well, but don't do that for fear of what others will think. I think when you ask for help, you open the door for others too as well.
Now, when mine first started at work, Mark, I went to one of my good friends who retired as an assistant chief. His name's Jay Heumann, one of the best people at the police department that I ever had the opportunity to know and become friends with. And I went to Jay and talked to him. And in talking with Jay, I found out that Jay had some issues that he'd had to deal with through EAP, through the Employee Assistance Program. And in talking to other people at the department, I realized that many of the guys that were there that were older, we all were kind of experiencing the same thing, but we were all dealing with it on our own because of the stigma that's attached with saying, hey, I've got something going on. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's happening. And, you know, talking to other people that, that say, hey, yeah, that's happening to me. It makes you feel more normal. You're not by yourself. These guys, there's nothing really wrong with me because the same thing I'm experiencing, they're experiencing. So it makes it easier to open up and talk about it, and you feel better about yourself. And it gives you more confidence in going out and trying to seek more help and try and conquer this issue that you got going on.
My granddad was a preacher, and he was a guidance counselor. He was qualified to be able to counsel people in addition to preaching. And one of the things about granddaddy's counseling is I didn't know who he counseled. Mm-hmm. And it was a lesson that I learned early on as a police officer. I did the very best I could. When somebody gave me information, I wasn't sitting down at the local convenience store drinking orange juice and sharing what I just found out about the locals. And it was very important to me to give anonymity to a lot of people and try to keep that information private. That is something that I think as law enforcement officers, we should be able to expect when we share with the medical community or we share with a counselor. And I believe that Blue Help has been helpful in that, to give that anonymity to those who are first responders to be able to share without fear of repercussions from being able to share what they are feeling.
Right, and it's a real fear in the law enforcement community with mental health of, you know, going and seeking assistance is, you know, what will happen to me at work? What will be repercussions of me opening up? Will they say that I'm not fit for duty? Will, you know, is it something that's going to impact my income, my family? You know, there's so many different facets to it. It's really complicated. And getting together and talking is probably one of the most important things. And a lot of people say, you know, law enforcement, they have a morbid sense of humor because, you know, you'll leave a really tragic scene and people will make jokes about it. And it's not in disrespect to the people. It's them communicating it, you know, trying to talk about what they've just experienced and then go and sit down and eat lunch. You know, it's a crazy world. And the paramedics are the same way. You know, they go to accident scenes and they're at calls where people have died and they have to do family notifications and let people know that their loved ones have passed. And, you know, there's no easy way to tell someone that their child's dead or that their mom and dad has just died. It's almost over the course of your career, you become calloused to it and you lose the emotional sense that should be attached to it. It definitely changes the person. This journey for me has been one that hopefully, you know, my wife told me in the past that I looked at everything negatively and I thought about that a lot. And, you know, I still do some. I hope not as bad as I have. But looking at the things throughout my career that could go wrong kept me safe. You know, looking at if I do this, then that can happen. You know, and not looking at the good things that can come out of it. You're just looking at the bad things that's coming out of it because that's what keeps you safe. So this trip for me has been one to lose some pieces. You never drop all the pieces that you pick up across the course of your career. You carry things for the rest of your life. But laying part of the pieces down and seeing humanity in our country, you know, people that, I mean, 2 days ago, a lady handed me a green apple icy pop out the car window and drove off. And it was the best. I mean, I just sat there and laughed, and it was the best icy pop ever. You know, but it's a good person. She didn't know me. She didn't know my history. She didn't know anything about me. She was just, it was a kind gesture on her part. And there have been countless kind gestures on this trip over the last 3,400 miles. I know it'll continue till I get to the coast. We're going to make it to the coast, but it is overwhelming what. The area that I've been in is rural America. It is the rural part of our country, which is the heart and soul of our country. And every single bit of it that I have experienced in 3,400 miles, you know, 6 weeks, well, no, 8, 10, almost 10 weeks. every single bit of it has just been over the top kindness. It's not what you're seeing on the news. It is a kind and loving country, and people out here are here to help you.
It's kind of what you see on the Mark White Show.
Kind of what you see on the Mark White Show.
And Melanie, we've talked about this because we talk about the fact that Chris is 3,400 miles into a 4,300 mile bike ride. And I was talking to you about, well, are you ready for him to get home? But you mentioned something that's really important. This is bigger than Chris. The mission continues when the bicycle stops. It continues on. And in some form or fashion, this is going to have an effect on every person that it's touched along the way. And then some, because it starts with one person. And then you have the next person and the next. And it connects all these people together to really bring this effort to a full head to say, wow, this did a lot more than we ever thought it would.
Yeah, absolutely. People frequently ask me if I'm ready for Chris to be home. Well, sure, yes, I'm ready for him to be home.
He's rolling his eyes.
You need somebody to pull the garbage can.
Well, some of those chores have transitioned, but I'm very much ready for him to be home. Having said that, it has become something much bigger than either of us, I think, could have ever anticipated, and certainly, I mean, bigger than just him at this point. Really, our conversations at this point have moved into asking how we continue raising awareness, how we continue this work. It certainly can't come to a full stop when he pulls into Gastonia, North Carolina. We have to be able to leverage the awareness, to leverage the following, to continue raising awareness. And I guess I think with the level of awareness and the people Chris has met, there comes responsibility with that. And I think what we have to decide now is what we do with that responsibility and how we take advantage of the people following Chris now, and try to continue growing that and continuing to try to smash the stigma associated with mental health and asking for help, particularly in first responder and the law enforcement community.
And as we talk about the next steps, we have the First Responder Mental Health and Wellness Conference coming up in Ocean City, Maryland, September 9th and 10th. People can go to firstresponderconferences.org. That's the number one, ST, responderconferences.org, and sign up for that. Let's talk about Blue Help, and let's talk about what Karen Solomon has done through this effort, because you told me that you started thinking about this bike ride a year and a half ahead of actually taking it, but you wanted to do something bigger than just you riding a bike across the country.
I did. And, you know, Mark, I really didn't know what organization I wanted to support with my ride. And once I started looking at the maps and how far it was and how difficult that it was going to be, it needed to be more than just about Chris Lowrance retired and got on a bicycle and went and rode across the United States. So I worked as a school resource officer since I retired at New Hope Elementary School. And I was sitting in my car one day watching the children play, and I was looking on the internet on the computer, and I was just looking for organizations, and I came across Blue Help and started reading about what they do. And it was so different than your typical police support, social media, Back the Blue, and all those are great organizations, but Blue Help struck me that it was different in that it helped families cope and deal with the loss of a first responder or a police officer through suicide, because there's no in the line of duty death benefits. They are quite often shunned from the departments. You know, people will say, we're going to be there. We're going to take your daughter and escort her to her proms. And as time passes, people forget. And those that die by suicide are quite often forgotten quickly. And it's the stigma that's associated with it. So I reached out to Karen through email. And Karen's full-time job is not Blue Help. That is something that she does in addition to working a full-time job. And she didn't respond to my email. So I waited a few weeks and I sent another, and I got a response, and I talked to, I don't know if secretary would be the right word, an associate of hers through Blue Help. And then I got to talk with Karen herself, and in speaking with her, you know, I don't know if she thought that this was really a serious thing, that it would develop or generate any kind of movement for Blue Help. I hope that it has. But we set it in motion with a goal of raising $10,000. When I left, I was a little over $6,000. And I did not know that I would make $10,000 before I got to Virginia. And I think yesterday or the day before yesterday, when Karen sent out an update, we were at $28,052. So it is, it's been overwhelming with financial support from people that have donated to help Karen carry out this mission that she has with Blue Help. And when I say Blue Help, Karen's, she has Red Help and I think White Help and Yellow Help, and it's mainly focused around first responders, police, fire, EMS, and we don't ever want to forget our dispatchers. They experience a lot on the end of a telephone. They hear things. You know, we've had dispatchers hear people burn to death in a house because the firefighters couldn't get to them. That ingrained something in that dispatcher that's a piece for them to carry. You know, so it's all the first responders, including our dispatchers. It's great that what this journey has done for me, but it's done. I think the benefit is way further reaching than Chris Lowrance. It's way further than that. I hope that it's impacted people, and that the listeners on the Mark White Show will say, hey, let's look at a penny for their thoughts and share it with a friend. And, you know, y'all can still watch me sweat and suffer for another 3.5 weeks.
Blue Help, I want to share with listeners right now as we're talking about it. HELP is an acronym in the part of Blue Help, and it's Honor, Educate, Lead, and Prevent. And the mission of Blue Help is to reduce mental health stigma through education, advocate for benefits for those suffering from post-traumatic stress, acknowledge the service and sacrifice of law enforcement officers we have lost to suicide, to support families after a suicide, and to bring awareness to suicide and mental health issues. And as you mentioned, people can follow a penny for their thoughts to follow your journey. I know we're well into it now, but it's never too late for someone to jump in and to say they want to be a part of this, that they care about their first responder community and what these people are going through who serve our communities and make sacrifices for many years to our communities through their service. I mentioned to you the other day about Chris Dillard and the battle that he's going through with ALS, and he served for 26 years. And I believe that if we're proactive and we see situations like this where we know an officer, what he's about to go through, we catch it and we say, I'm here for you. And I know that Officer Dillard knows that he has a lot of people that are in his corner right now, and it's making sure that officers, firefighters, as you mentioned, dispatchers, paramedics, those who are serving know that they have a team of people they can trust. You had that one person that you went to, and other people need to know who they can go to.
Right. Brig Pearson was, Brig probably impacted me more than anyone on this trip. Brig's 32 years old. He's got 2 children. He's married. Brig worked for the Wright County Sheriff's Office in Missouri. And he had been a deputy for 2.5 months, and they went out to do a eviction notice on a residence and remove the resident, the person from the home. They wouldn't come out, and of course they let the new guy kick the door down. And when Brig kicked the door down, he was met by rifle fire from inside. The guy was kneeling and shot him 7 times. In the time that the man pulled the trigger, Brig's life changed forever. His children's life changed forever. His wife's life changed forever. And probably everybody that knew Brig in one form or another, their life has changed forever. And he has had 5 different surgeries. He walks with a cane. And he's climbed a mountain. I'm climbing hills. He's climbed a mountain. He's got some hills to go through now. And he's got issues that you know, that he's faced, and he faces them daily. You know, things of watching his children do things and not being able to participate in them because of his physical limitations that he has now. But he's a warrior, and he's fighting it, and he's climbing hills, and he's going to make it. And we've got a deal. I'm going to keep climbing hills, and he's going to climb his hills. And Briggs, one of the guys on this trip that I'll keep up with and reach back out to.
The very first show that I ever did for the Mark White Show, November 3rd, 2017, it was with Deputy Randall McCrary, teacher by day, deputy by night. Me and him worked together in East Lauderdale County. It's a very rural area, so you need that backup. We backed each other up. On a Wednesday night, I was in services and had a strange feeling. And I got a notification on my phone about an officer being shot in Florence. Well, he's normally in the East Lauderdale end, so I didn't really think about the possibility of being somebody I really knew because it was the western side. It just so happens it was Randall McCrary who was shot as he went to serve a paper on a mentally ill patient. Randall went through so many things after that with the injuries internal, and very similar, that he's fighting that battle as well. But if Randall's down, if Randall goes through a difficult time, again, he needs to know that there are people that are here to support him and to talk to him, not to get to the worst point that we possibly can be, but while things are not to that darkest place yet. That's when we need to talk to each other. It's not when we get to the lowest point that we possibly can get, but throughout, have a consistent conversation and check up on each other.
But, you know, getting to the deep, dark places is sometimes that's the secret, that people are in those deep, dark places, and people at work don't realize that people are where they are. You know, maybe the issues at work has caused marital problems, and, you know, or financial difficulties have compounded it, and things just compound on top of each other until, you know, all of a sudden somebody snaps, and that's when people actually realize, wow, there's something going on. So sometimes it's hard to recognize coworkers that are having issues or facing hard times, and maybe it is you have to be a little nosy. You have to tread onto some areas in their personal life that, you know, typically you wouldn't. The worst thing they can do is get mad at you, but you might save their life. You might keep them from going down a path that they can't get back down.
Obviously, I want people to connect where they can, and they can go to A Penny for Their Thoughts to follow your journey, Chris. They can go to bluehelp.org. They can follow Blue Help on Facebook. They can follow Blue Help on Instagram, and they can connect with Blue Help if they need services. And as you mentioned, Red Help and White Help and Yellow Help all exist as well.
Yes, sir.
So we can check those out, and then, of course, the conference comes up in September. I know you're looking forward to being home. You got two kids behind you right now who are so glad that you're with them right now as you're on this mission. But you're bringing awareness to a lot of issues, and you're connecting with a lot of people. And I want to say personally, from the very first conversation I had with you, Chris, thank you for what you're doing, because you are highlighting a subject that needs to be covered. And as I mentioned from the get-go, Charlie Bradley is the reason that this started for me with Blue Help. And so again, I want April to know that this show is also part of Charlie, and his legacy's not dying, and the Mark White Show is continuing to recognize him. So I appreciate you, Chris. I appreciate the fact that you've taken time with me here this afternoon as we've talked about your mission, your effort, the work of Blue Help, and also bring awareness to people who might be struggling right now and didn't know that there was an outlet, that there was a place to turn.
Absolutely. And Blue Help has a lot of resources. I've had people reach out to me during my bike trip, phone calls, and I really didn't know where to steer them, which direction to push them to. So I sent them to Karen Solomon, and I said, if anybody can figure out a resource for them, Karen's the person that can. And Karen, she's a very unique individual. She sends me memes daily now. Like roses are red and violets are blue, ride your bike. So, I mean, it's she truly is. She's remarkable. She's a law enforcement wife. Her husband works for Worcester Police Department. One of my former colleagues at Gaston County Police Department. His brother works with Karen's husband. It's neat to forge a relationship with Karen, and then like Heroes Rest, that all these different organizations that are able to come in and complement each other's organization, with Heroes Rest reaching out and maybe a partnership will develop between them and Blue Help, where referrals can be made and some help can be established for people that need it.
And I was thinking the same thing about Warrior Horse with the therapy down in Shreveport, to be able to connect. And there's so many different ways that we can connect. It's a matter of having some vision and being able to say, okay, this, we can network with this person. And once we come together, it's an unstoppable army.
It's a team.
That's right. Melanie, thank you for sharing Chris with us. This has been a journey that, as you know, a lot of people have followed, and they have gotten to know Chris very well, but nobody knows Chris like you do. But thank you for being a part of this journey, and you've been able to navigate through the social media and help him when signal's down and he hasn't been able to do the Facebook Lives or make the connection, and you've been able to take on a lot of that. So thank you for that too.
Absolutely. It has been a journey. It is, I truly mean this. It's been our pleasure. Like I said from the beginning, we had no idea what to expect. Truly, we didn't. Even with regard to the terrain, when he started this, ride, and we have learned as we've gone, we've learned a lot of lessons, and are just incredibly grateful for the connections he's made and for hopefully the difference he's making.
I think Cora has made a couple of connections too. What do you think, Melanie?
It appears she's very comfortable.
I'm glad she can come with me, and we appreciate Madeline and also Adam, who just celebrated his 13th birthday. We celebrated on the Mark White Show and other places, but we appreciate them both and sharing Chris with us. So thank you both again for being here, and it's been wonderful to have this experience with you here at Mammoth Cave National Park.
And Mark, thank you, because you have been instrumental in getting our word out as well. As many listeners as you have, people that tune into the Mark White Show and hear the different stories, I'm sure many people don't realize that the issues that law enforcement and first responders face are actual realities. So we appreciate you and what you have done. And drove 3 hours down here to visit with us and do an interview in the room and experience the Mammoth Cave.
And some Isom's peaches.
Oh, man.
Have to throw that in there. I had stopped by Isom's and picked up some peaches, and so I asked Melanie if they liked peaches. Who doesn't like peaches? So they have some Isom's peaches from Limestone County, Alabama. So
I have peaches.
You enjoy those.
I have peaches.
Well, folks, here on the Mark White Show, you know we're here to recognize difference makers and share their stories to encourage and inspire us all to make a difference where we can. I hope that the Mark White Show is making a difference in your life. If it is, please share it with your friends, your neighbors, and your family, and let them know about the Mark White Show and what we're doing to make a difference in our communities, not just where I'm at, but all across the country and all across the world. Wherever people need help, the Mark White Show tries to be there. Please follow the Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and subscribe to the Mark White Show podcast via Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Audioboom, SoundCloud, Blueberry, YouTube, and TuneIn Radio. You have been listening to a special travel edition of The Mark White Show from Mammoth Cave National Park with Chris Lowrance of A Penny for Their Thoughts. And this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Who live and love in my hometown.
Is it time for a haircut? Go see my friends Philip Butler and B.H. Parker at Southwind Barbershop, located at 1637 Lee Street in Rogersville, Alabama. Give them a call at 256-247-5658. That's 256-247-5658.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set a minute. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Appling, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the University Preparatory Diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
Located in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the Alabama Music Hall of Fame honors Alabama's music achievers. You can even go into the recording studio and try out your talents as a singer. That's the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located at 617 Highway 72 West in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Give them a call at 256-381-4417. Check them out on the web at alamhof.org.
You hear me, people, when I say, well, let's all do something good today. Something good today.